Good morning. Welcome as we celebrate God's presence in our hearts, in our lives, in this all-glorious Christ-soaked creation. Just a couple announcements this morning before we begin, and that is that the session will meet on Zoom tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And I recently, on Friday, saw my first Reese's Peanut Butter Cup pumpkin. So Halloween is just around the corner, just so you know. Anything else? Let us begin as we do some Sundays, taking a breath in and being aware of this very gift of life that we have this day. And breathing out anything that would prevent us from living life and having it abundantly. Let us join in our call to worship. Praise is due to the Holy One, whose ways are the joy of our hearts. Worship is due to the Holy One, whose revelation illuminates our path.
The just God is righteous, and happy are we who follow the Holy One.
Love is due to the Holy One, whose compassion, peace, and strength satisfies the prayers spoken and unspoken.
Sovereign God answers prayer, and happy are we who love.
Amen. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing together our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Holy One, we incline our hearts toward you, but the concerns of the world and the challenges of daily living pull us away. Keep us grounded in your promises, your purposes, and your presence. Remove the misleading veil of scarcity and fear that keeps us from giving. In you we hope and believe. Amen. Indeed, my siblings in Christ, the gifts of God, they are illimitable. And among those gifts is the gift of tenderness, grace, and transformation. We are forgiven again and again. Thanks be to God. And let us say together one expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another with some sign of Christ's love and peace. Peace be with you. Please be seated.
Do you ever get confused and you forget an appointment, or you were supposed to be someplace, or you thought it was Monday and it was Tuesday? Anything like that ever happened? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Jim, I hope you feel better. So last week I came and I looked over here for Jim and he wasn't there. And I said, well, Jim's with the Marines or somebody and they're celebrating some 4th of July event. But he told me this morning that no, that's not what happened. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, his neighbor told him it was Sunday, not Saturday. So he missed. He missed it all. So, Jim, you saw our hands go up, right? We all done that. We've all got confused. Sometimes when I'm taking a nap, this maybe this happens to you, I wake up from a nap and I think it's morning. I think, where am I? What day is it? What's going on here? And it takes a minute or two to figure out, oh, I just took a nap and I just woke up. I get confused too. How good it is that we are together this day to praise God and to celebrate this Lord's Day. We're grateful to know this morning that father-in-law to Cliff, Harry in Clovis, New Mexico, is home from surgery. Got a couple of knee problems unrelated to everything else, but we all have knee problems. And so we're glad he's home and making good recovery, and may that continue. Sandy's not here, are you this morning? She moves around. Sometimes she's over there. Ing shared with me, Sandy, that you have a 2-week break and then you start your last series of chemotherapy. And so you've round the corner and the stretch is ahead And so may God bless you, and may the prayers of God's people strengthen you as you continue that race. Many years ago, 1863, a man walked outside of his city into the countryside. His home was bathing on. He got into the countryside and he stopped and he sat down and just looked. Maybe you had that experience this morning, this beautiful, cool Sunday, Lord's Day. Maybe you just looked out and saw all that glory. And so he wrote some words, and those words were sung just for me this morning on Sing for Joy. It was the first hymn on that 30-minute radio program that I know you're going to start listening to after today. Listen to it on Sunday morning before you come to worship. 30 minutes of beautiful music, but beautiful choir from Denver, Colorado, put into song his words that he wrote on that day in 1863 in the spring. And those words go like this. For the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our joyful hymn of praise. For the beauty of the hour, of the day, and of the night, hill and vale, tree and flower, sun and moon, and stars of light. Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our joyful hymn of praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child. Friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee we raise this, our joyful hymn of praise. The world that God has made and given to you and to me, may you rejoice in every glimpse of it, every gift of it. It's all made for your praise and your enjoyment, the beauty of God. Just look. It's there. It's so beautiful and wonderful to see. In that spirit, let us join together in prayer. Oh God, we gather together here with one another. We cannot be who we are without one another. We cannot be who we are. We cannot be ourselves unless we have one another. For it's in community and together and koinonia and the Holy Spirit working in us that makes us who we are. And we give you thanks for one another. We come so that we can be eager, hungry to hear your word again, and song and preaching and prayer and praise. To know that our lives are not lived in a random fashion, that things just don't happen willy-nilly, that we're not being bounced around by one event or another, that we're not lost in this huge universe to be on our own, but that you are in every thought, every flower, every thought, every engagement, every experience of meeting. We are yours. And you have your hand upon us. And our heart beats to your heart. So we come. feed us again. Oh, we are hungry. We are starved. We are eager to be fed, to be nourished by the living word that makes us alive, gives us strength. Feed us again today. Prune us. Take away, take out from our lives, cut away from our lives anything that will keep us from loving with a whole heart, loving our neighbor as ourself, every neighbor everywhere. Prune us that we could love you. Take from us anything, everything that keeps us from loving you with a full heart, so that our lives might bring glory to you and blessing to those among us, around us, in our lives. Bless the world, your world, every nation, every people. You've made of one blood all the nations of the earth. We are not different from each other. We are all alike because we all come from your hand, brothers and sisters everywhere. Bless the leaders of every nation and city, that they may lead with strong hearts and gentle hands and generous spirits, that they may lead with compassion and mercy, with wisdom and grace. May they lead in ways that reflect your guiding will in action and decision. We pray for those who serve in uniform and for first responders, those who live in dangerous places, those who live in areas of war and strife, those who live in fear. Strengthen, guide, renew, and bless. May your grace bring peace, shalom, safety to all of your people, to all of us. We pray for those this day among us and beyond us, but in our hearts, who struggle with illness or disease, who need your hand, grace, presence, for mind, body, or spirit. Restore them, all that we carry in our hearts this day, people that we love. Bring to fullness of health, fullness of strength that only you can bring. In silence now we pray for your healing among them. Oh God, we are yours, body and soul. We are yours. We don't want to be anyone else's. We don't want any voice, any ism, any ideology to stand between us and your presence. We want to be yours, to hear your voice, to follow your will, to be in the center, the very center of your will for us. So surround us, we pray, with your grace. Fill us. Make us new. Make us strong. Make us joyful. Make us yours. We pray in Jesus' name. We bring every prayer in Jesus' name. our Lord and Savior, our brother, our guide, our Redeemer, our rock. The name that is above every name. And we look forward to that time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In his name we pray, and in his name we remember to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Let us rise in body or spirit and sing our hymn of praise, We Exalt Thee. Please be seated, and would the ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering? Thank you.
our whole selves, our whole lives, everything that we are. And in this offering, we give to you a portion of the gifts you've given to us, and may they be used for the good of all your creation.
This morning's scripture reading is Matthew 13, 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no roots, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Janet. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been here about a year and known many of you for longer, but I think it's time that we had a serious discussion about decorative soaps. I don't think we've done that before. But you know what I mean by decorative soaps. You might have gotten them at the shore, a little packet of them. They look like seashells, maybe, and they're beautifully, intricately carved bars of soap. Sometimes you might have the seashells or beautiful little flowers, and they go in the powder room in a little soap dish, and they're wonderful, and they smell nice. And I wonder, do any of you have any of those? Have you ever had a decorative soap? Okay. Well, I remember we had them in our house growing up, a few of them, but I remember one set very well, and it was a set of three: Purry, Furry, and Scurry. They were adorable little kittens. There was a blue one, a yellow one, and a green one. And each little kitten was snuggled into a Christmas stocking. And as I was doing my important research for this morning's message, I discovered that they were a limited edition special from Avon. And I loved these little soaps, and I treasured them, and I would play with them, and I spent time smelling them, and I'd still be loving them today if they hadn't met their cruel end. I remember it like it was yesterday. I was devastated. I came home from school, and I found out that my little brother had taken a bath with them. He used them. He used the soap, and all that was left of these little kittens was misshapen blobs. And I was inconsolable, because didn't his four-year-old self, okay, maybe not, but didn't my mother, 30-something, she know she had something to do with it? Didn't she know that these soaps were not for a bath? They were wasted in water, and they were gone, wasted on a kid who was now playing in the mud. I hope you didn't have a traumatic experience like that one. But I wonder if in your home now, or maybe when you were growing up, there were items or are items that are only used for special occasions. The good dishes, or the cloth napkins. I know some people who have whole rooms in their home reserved for special guests, and keep the good chocolate for when Uncle Harry and Aunt Martha come. You can have the Palmers. Yeah. Don't eat the Pepperidge Farm cookies. Sound familiar? As if some of these things, these special things, are saved just for special people. And think about that. As we think about how Janet read our parable this morning, it's called the parable of the sower, but usually when we look at this, and indeed Jesus talks about the soil, but when we look at this, we often focus on the soil. But today, when we look at this passage from Matthew, I'd also like to have us look, if you can see it, at the painting that was inspired by this passage. It's Vincent van Gogh's The Sower. And look at the image and listen again to what Jesus is saying about this sower, who would be considered very much a wasteful, wasteful farmer. Just look at him casting seeds behind him and pair that with Jesus' story, how he tells it. The guy here is just throwing them out there, and some are falling on a path, and some are falling on rocky ground, and some are falling right in with the thorns, and some are going on to the good soil. But he's not put a lot of thought in this. He's a reckless guy, a foolish guy. And doesn't he know that only good soil is going to produce a crop? And again, the message that we often take away from this is we start to wonder about our own soil. I was reading the Episcopal priest, Barbara Brown Taylor, and she spoke about this passage, and she wrote that this parable would always make her start thinking about her own soil, and was it tidy enough, or are there thorns in it, or are there too many birds flying around? How can I be a well-tended patch of soil so that God's word and love and seeds can grow? But the thing is, if we do that, and do that only from this passage, then we start to look, perhaps, I know I have, look at the soil of other people and wonder, are they good enough? Are they worthy enough of my time, of my gifts, of what I have to sow? Sometimes at a story time, we usually get a fair amount of people at our programs. But if we have one where normally you would have about 70 people and just 10 show up, I used to have that feeling, well, it's just 10, or well, I'll save that story for when more people are here. I'll save that. I start to judge the other soil, the crowd. This week began the extended school year within the Shaler School District for kids with intellectual differences and disabilities. And I get to be a part of that. And it is amazing. It is breathtaking. It is an inbreaking of the holy. 90 kids, all different to one another, which we all are, but kids with different challenges and needs and ways of expressing themselves, some using Dyna boxes and some using words and some just using their bodies. And here are these teachers in this school district where many school districts don't, and indeed many decision makers don't think that this kind of money should be wasted on these kids who, well, do they really understand it? Is anything really going to matter, make a difference? I've even had some people, pastors, say to me, well, why do you go? Why does that nursing home, assisted living place, why do they still have a chaplain? And many don't now. What's the what's the real point? What are they real? I've had pastors say that to me. What do the people who come at Fair Oaks or when you do the memory care service, what are they really getting out of it? You can just dial that sermon in. But that's what happens. And I know that it, I know I've done it too, just with different kinds of soil that I don't think meet my criteria of worthy. And so instead, look at the sower and look at how the sower is just spreading that word everywhere. Spreading that message of grace and love, not just for the people who have it all together, not just for the right people. Very different to how we manage perhaps our resources as individuals or as institutions or as nations. And the thing about God's grace and mercy and love is that it's not like the fancy cheese or the shrimp. It's not going to run out. It doesn't need to be saved for only the worthy at the perfect time, but still we can be stingy with that. I wonder if this parable of the sower can help us to remember that God doesn't judge the soil first. God just gives and spreads around the tenderness. And so if I am thinking that some others are not worthy of what I have, might I think again? And I also think that many people, many are most stingy with themselves. That they have been trying and trying to get right with God, to live better, to be the kind of good soil that God needs. And I think that by looking in the mirror next time and extending God's radical grace to that person staring back, remembering this story and remembering one of the creation stories in Genesis, that when God formed humans, they were pronounced as very good. And so if you want to use that good soap for yourself or have that Milano cookie, yeah, those will be gone. But you're worth the good stuff. Every one of us is. Everyone a child of God. Amen. And please rise in body or spirit as we sing together verses 1, 4, and 5 of O Christ, Surround Me.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you, all those whom you love, and all those whom no one loves, this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.